and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game, live from HQ Beercade for our Preds watch party tonight. He's the GM, Floyd Rees. Floyd, the Preds tonight against Detroit. Big win yesterday against the Ottawa Senators, which we were calling for here on the show. And they went out and they did.
Good win. Played much better, I thought. You know, it was 5-3. I mean, they got off to a pretty good start, got a couple goals right off the bat, and just kind of continued through. Pekka again played great. I mean, a lot of positives, I think.
It was the kind of effort they needed to have.
Yeah, and they were against a team that was, you know, a little bit shaky, but we'll still take it. I mean, they'd have to look at it and say it was a giant plus.
Well, when you're playing a bad team, you're supposed to go out there and beat the daylights out of them. When you win 5-2, that's beating the daylights out of somebody. At least the way that I watched it was beating the daylights out of someone. So that was a good start. They get Detroit tonight. And, of course, Detroit stinks too. In fact, Detroit today or yesterday traded their starting goalie who shut the Preds down Saturday night. So he's gone to Philadelphia. So now you get the backup goalie. So no excuses. I don't want to hear back end of a back-to-back. I don't want to hear, you know, well, we hit the post too many times, Jared. I don't want to hear any of that. Tonight they play Detroit. Watch party here at HQ BRK downtown. I don't want to hear any of that. I just want them to go out there, get 2 points, stay in first place, and come home.
They had that goalie. What was it? Music? Or what's his name?
Peter Mrazek.
Mrazek. Was like 6-1 or something.
7-0 in his last seven against the Preds.
Against the Preds. Yeah. There we go. I mean, I know he just played lights out against us, so he'll probably he's disappointed he's not going to get to play us again, probably.
Like, I think it's kind of rude, like, on some level, to look at the Preds. They lose two in a row, and then we go on the air after they lose two in a row, and we're like, how could they lose to Calgary when we guaranteed victory? Or they lose to Detroit, who stinks, and we're like, how could they lose to Detroit? And then they beat Ottawa, who stinks, and we're like, good job, all right, go get them. It's almost like the opposite of a Bobo show. Because, you know, like if you were a local honk, you would get on the air and you would only talk about the wins. Yeah, we won this week. Go, baby, go. But then when you lose, you would just kind of, oh, yeah, they lost last night. Well, but they got a good game coming up this week, and they got it. And here we are. They lose to Detroit. We get upset about it. And now they beat Ottawa. Did a lot of good things. I mean, I thought the energy was good. I thought the passing was good. I thought the fact that they played the whole game was good. I thought the goaltending was probably the best part of the whole game, which I'm pretty much stealing that take from Crispy. But it's like, I feel a lot of, you know, I felt really good about the game last night. I was there, and now I'm on to the next one. I'm on to tonight saying, all right, you beat the first bad team, now you got to go beat the second bad team. And then you get the good teams that come in, San Jose and St. Louis, and that matters more than just beating the bad teams. Is all about just getting the points.
Well, and it's the same story forever. You know, if you lose to a bad team, you're going to talk about it for 2 days. If you beat a bad team, okay, they won. Way to go. Who's next? And move right on. It's just, it's unfair, but that's the way it works.
So, again, the Preds are taking on Detroit tonight. We'll get back to that game in a second. The big story of the day in sports, Floyd Rees.
Which, this is a sad moment.
That it is the biggest story?
That this is the biggest story?
Or that it happened.
No, that it's the biggest story in sports.
The 2013 championship banner for Louisville basketball has come down as the NCAA, who had already ruled that the banner had to come down, has now ruled that the appeal is no good and that Louisville has to vacate their wins from the 2012 Final Four, the 2013 National Championship, and apparently it also includes 2014 and 2015. So that was the ruling. Now, here's my thing. A lot of people seem to think that this is really important or that it's a big deal or whatever it may be. I'm not sure how big of a deal I think vacating wins are. Like, people act like it's a big deal. Like, oh, it's a big deal. They're vacating a championship. But are they really? I'm not sure I feel like anything happened because they vacated a championship.
Meaning?
Well, like the fans, if your team gets their championship taken away, your fans are outraged. I was listening to Louisville radio earlier today when this happened, and the fans like want to sue the NCAA. I'm like, why? Like, to me, do the crime, do the time.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, that's exactly right. if you're gonna do those kind of things and you get caught, it's gonna cost you.
But
what it cost you.
But again, losing a championship banner is not a big deal, is it?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's part of your history. You look back in history, like I don't know Louisville basketball, but if you pull up a media guide and you look at it and says, "Oh, national champs in but not in 2000 and what is it, 13, 14, whatever." I mean, so, you know, from that standpoint, I mean, you're going to lose that forever.
Yeah, I don't even care, though. I'm just glad the thing's over with, so I don't have to hear people like you every day, every time this comes up, start screaming from the mountaintops about
hookers in the dorm.
Hookers in the dorm. You know, like, and then the other thing that gets me is, like, I'm a Louisville fan, right? Yes. Like, I went to school. I was in school when all this was going on. Like, I went to that championship game. I was there. And yet, like, I look at it and I say, so what if they take it away? Like, hey, look, there's nothing about this that is pleasant, right?
No.
But it's not like I'm sitting there saying, oh, well, now it's never going to be the same because they took our championship banner away. Like, who cares? You think USC fans care that they took their football championships away? I mean, nobody acts like Pete Carroll didn't win those titles. We know Pete Carroll won those titles.
Yeah, but you only know it because if you don't know anything about them and you show up and you look at it, they don't know who it, you know, oh, Pete Carroll was a coach here. How did he do? Well, he never won a championship. Oh, okay. I mean, I think that's the difference. So, and where you could say, hey, he won a couple of national championships. That's how good they were.
So for having underage escorts in your dorm rooms,
I didn't know they
with
were
recruits, and I think the recruits, some of them were underage too.
Oh,
so for having that, and the worst thing that happens to you is you lose your championship banner. I mean, I think that that's a pretty fair deal. I mean, I'm just saying,
that's just, if I was a chancellor at Louisville, I'd be texting you saying, "Please be quiet."
Why? Because they're
please
thinking, we got a good deal.
Yeah, as a Louisville alum, do not broadcast the fact that, hey, fair trade. We got the hookers in the dorm. You got the banner.
Everything's good. I'm anti-hookers in the dorm, 100%. I'm totally against it, especially, like, all that. But my thing is, like, people are looking at this and they're saying, well, but North Carolina did. I'm like, North Carolina didn't have hookers. I can't listen to, like... It's so to me, again, like this is going to be a big story on all the shows, everything's going to be about how do the fans feel there? Oh, the fans hate it and they don't do the crime if you can't do the time. And I'm also not one because you know what the other thing you hear is when something like this happens, people will say, well, everybody's doing it. I don't care about that either. I don't care who else is cheating. You're the one who got caught. It's the same as tax evasion. If you get caught cheating on your taxes, it's your fault. It's not everybody does it. No, you did it. You got caught. So I look at it and I think like, hey, if the worst that happens is you lose these vacated wins, you'll be fine and everybody in 5 years will have moved on.
And they're going to be, I mean, we'll find out here in a few weeks if there's not any more. There may be a second shoe to drop, and in your particular case, it's a big shoe.
What, with the FBI and the $100,000?
Yes.
Well, I think our shoe already dropped. And I got to say this, too.
Oh, no, that's from the first time. That's from the hookers.
No. The Pitino getting fired, he got fired. The hookers was already known when Pitino got fired. So this is the next thing. And I'm glad Pitino's gone, because I blame him for all this.
Well,
At the end of the day, I put all the blame on him.
What's the penalty? When are you going to get the penalty for the 100 grand or whatever it was?
Well, the kid never played.
To the kid.
Well, he never played. Well, that's what the NCAA cares about. Like, we have to vacate the wins because the players with the hookers were.
Is that all you lost out of all that stuff you did?
Like 600 grand, too, I think is what we have to
pay
back.
Oh, that's nothing.
And probation for 4 years.
That's nothing.
Which I had to explain to you before the show that probation doesn't mean anything in college sports.
That's nothing. That is getting off light. Light. If it was me, you'd be dead.
You'd cancel basketball.
I'd kill you. Yep.
Even though there's
death penalty.
Even though there's an arena there that is like $600 million in debt.
I don't care. I don't.
So you're going to ruin the local economy.
If you do the crime, you got to do the time.
Hey, we're doing the time. We take the banner
down. No, this is nothing. Taking a banner down and all that, that's nothing.
See, I agree with you. Like, jeez. I'm a fan, and I heard this today, and I was like, first of all, I thought this was coming, right? Like, don't you, like, when they take it down originally, the NCAA rules, hey, we're vacating your wins. Then you appeal to the NCAA. The NCAA is not going to change their mind. It's like appealing to Roger Goodell. Goodell ain't going to change his mind. He's made it up. And Brady lost four games for a whole lot less evidence than we had with the hookers in the dorm. Plus, Louisville, and the NCAA said this, they admitted in their argument that they did it, and that was all the NCAA needed to hear.
I would say this. If I'm one of these other schools that's getting ready to get hammered, and they're going to get me for, say, one incident of giving a guy money, and they're going to do similar to what they did to you, I'd be in court tomorrow morning.
What do you mean?
I'd be there. I'd say, hey, nope, we are unacceptable. After all the stuff they have done, and we did one thing, and we get a similar, no, not work.
So you think it's worse?
Oh, Louisville is a cesspool. You know that.
Hey, I have no comment on that. Just like you have no comment on anything about New England or the Titans. And so on that level, oh, by the way, speaking of Louisville, one other quick thing to get in. The most hated man in Nashville radio in Louisville today is not me. It's you. They got a hold of your Lamar Jackson comments yesterday about how he's not a quarterback in the NFL. They were very upset. I got a bunch of text messages this morning when I didn't even know it was coming. But now I think they've probably moved on, and I think they're probably talking about this.
I would imagine.
I'm telling you right now, the radio there, the people on the radio there think it is ridiculous that the NCAA is taking down the banner.
That's how perverted they are. They are so scum-laden, they cannot get out of their own way. If they think there's something wrong with that, I mean, that's sad. Sad.
So those are the two biggest stories today. The Preds win last night. We've kind of moved on from the win last night. It was a good win. They played well. They played hard. They got great goaltending. The crowd was incredible last night. I really was, honestly. Like, I was impressed with the crowd. Like, I got out there. I was kind of standing, like, right on the glass during the national anthem. And I looked up, and I just saw, like, every seat filled. And, you know, Nashville, generally speaking, is kind of a late-arriving crowd. Like, by about the second time out of the first period, everything's filled in. But usually when the game starts, people are either getting in from work or they've gone out to some of the bars, like HQ Beercade downtown right here where we are, and then they go out to the stadium or the arena for the game. But I'm sitting there during the national anthem, and it was just absolutely packed, and I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking to myself, man, like, this place, a Monday night against Ottawa, and it is packed to the brim here.
Did you see the national anthem and the NBA All-Star game?
Yeah, Fergie was not good. it was not good.
So sad.
But the anthem yesterday at the Preds was good, but the fans did a great job. But we moved on. We moved on from that. They've got Detroit. And with that, we'll open the phones. Preds on the table. Floyd thinking that Louisville basketball not getting punished enough is on the table. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. We are live out at HQ Beercade once again tonight, downtown 114 2nd Avenue South, and we'll be here from 2 to 5:30, and then, of course, the game will be on, and we'll have the drawing at 7:45. You can win lower-level premium center ice tickets to see the Preds take on San Jose Thursday. That's right. Come on out to HQ Beercade by 7:45 tonight. So if you work downtown, maybe you're going to get off, you want to come out, come on out here and register to win those tickets, because those are premium center ice for Thursday night's game. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, I did something yesterday. I've got a big thought. I'm very, very disappointed. We'll get to that next. It's Jared and the GM live from HQ Beercade on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Today, the NCAA Infractions Appeals Committee announced that it had upheld earlier imposed penalties on the University of Louisville, inclusive of financial penalties and the vacation of victories between 2011 and 2015, the 2013 National Championship, and the 2012 Final Four appearance. I cannot say this strongly enough. We believe the NCAA is simply wrong to have made this decision.
Dr. Greg Postal, the interim president at Louisville. Floyd, they're wrong, according to Dr. Greg Postal.
Okay, Dr. Greg.
I mean, maybe he thinks they're wrong along the lines that you thought they were wrong and that they didn't get punished enough.
Unbelievable. I don't know how you know when you see things go on like this in a family setting or a community setting, you say, how did they not know? Or if they did know, how could they put up with it? How could Dr. Greg, he's the answer. That's how it works. Hey, when the chancellor comes out and says, we're cool, they're wrong. Okay.
Well, I'll tell you how this, I'll tell you why it got to this level. Because unlike you, I won't protect everybody that I used to work for in the past. And the thing is the way it worked at Louisville when I was there was men's basketball had its own practice facility. It had its own dorm room. Patino never interacted with anybody because he didn't answer to anybody. And all he cared about was winning. And it was kind of the don't ask and don't you dare tell. And that was the kind of society that it was there. And that's when you have that type of philosophy and that's how you live, that's how things like this happen. That's just it. And my thing is this, again, who cares if they take down a championship banner? I feel like that is the lamest punishment. I read an article today where somebody who used to be on the appeals committee or infractions committee or something with the NCAA said, oh, yeah, we just thought the vacating wins when we put it in. We thought that was like a let's just tack it on for whatever. And then we found out that that was the most effective punishment of all the punishments.
I don't know. I've never been around anything like that, so I don't know, you know.
Well, to me, like future bowl bans or championship bans is way worse than taking a banner down.
I mean, it's just.
I mean, they would be like saying, Floyd, you didn't win the 99 AFC championship.
Yeah. You know, which for me, I mean, we're past that and I've got the ring and, you know, I know I'm cool. But I mean, when you go back, you look up history and you say they've never been to a Super Bowl. Oh, yeah, they were in 99. Not according to this.
But if that's the worst thing that happens to you after you did what they did, I mean.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, that's why I don't understand. And if you take it and look at it from the standpoint of compare that to what other schools have done and have gotten, you know, the same thing, a banner taken down. I mean, there is no comparison.
You mean like Reggie Bush's family getting money compared to.
Compared to hookers in the dorm and paying basketball players and the whole AD and his son and their fund and they, I mean it is sad.
Phones 615-737-1025. Jared and the GM live out at HQ Beercade downtown tonight. Preds take on Detroit. Come on out for the watch party. Win those lower-level premium center ice tickets for Thursday night's game against the Sharks. We call them the Floyd Reseats. David is up first here on Jared and the GM. What's up, David?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Floyd, you don't think it was strong enough on Louisville? Don't worry. There's more to come. They've got another one just getting started. They're going to have a whole other punishment coming down the pike for paying Brian Bowen's family $100,000.
See, I don't think they're in any trouble for that. He didn't play.
Yeah, see, I mentioned that same thing, and Jared says, no, I think this is all there is. I said, no.
This is paying a recruit. It doesn't matter if he signed or not. The family of the recruit got $100,000.
Right, but it only matters if he plays. That makes him ineligible. When you vacate your wins and you get in trouble is when you play an ineligible player, which if you don't play him, then he's not ineligible. Which, by the way, South Carolina is trying to play him right now.
Yeah, they are. You know, the other thing about Louisville is you talked about, you know, the culture up there. It all started really with Tom Jurich, the athletic director, because he was a bully. He was a bull in a china shop with anyone in Louisville who spoke against him or went against him in any way.
Right. I mean, he's got his
thank you, David.
His record is long and distinguished, too.
I mean, look.
I don't. You can't say anything.
It's not that I can't say anything. First of all, I don't want to hear you do that. You can't say anything. When I had to do a week of the Titans play in New England, and I couldn't get a thing. It was like I had to use a crowbar to get something out of you. So I don't want to hear that on that one. But I'll say this. Sometimes change is a good thing.
Okay.
I will say this, though. I think Louisville is totally – I think they are totally in the clear on this $100,000 that
I don't see how that could be.
Because he didn't play.
It doesn't matter.
That is all that matters.
No, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, look, I'm not the – I don't make the rules.
I don't either. But I'm gonna, if I'm NC2A and I'm looking at that, whether he stepped on the court or not, if a guy from Louisville gave them $100,000 and mom and dad got the money, they're paying the piper.
Even if Junior didn't know.
Yeah. I don't care about Junior. If Junior didn't get the money, he's a dummy.
Well, you know South Carolina. So he transferred to South Carolina, and now South Carolina is trying to play him.
So if he plays, there you go. Now you're
well,
done.
That's why South Carolina can't play him, because he's ineligible. Because his family
because
took $100,000.
Well, I got to figure that they're going to get that in there somewhere.
I have a theory, though. I do have a theory on, like, what's going to happen when they – like, I do not think – we talked about this a little bit yesterday. I don't think the FBI is ever going to release all the information on the basketball scandal. And so the NCAA will never have enough information to be able to penalize really anybody in this whole thing.
Because why?
Because I don't think the NCAA is going to release – or the FBI is going to release it, because it will hurt local economies all throughout the country.
The FBI is holding up the entire government with their search, and they don't care. They've been doing it for a year.
2 years.
2 years. So guess what? If they're going to hold up the United States government, they will hold up these schools.
Again, I don't think they're going to.
Oh, I don't know.
I think they're going to look at it and say, you know what, it's better off for America that we not release the NCAA stuff, and then that way the bars will keep getting
packed. Instead, we're going to go hunt Russians and see if we get to throw it into the government some way, somehow.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know anything about that. You talk all about that all you want. That guy got nothing to do with that. But I will say, again, if the FBI releases it, then college basketball has a bunch of problems, and then maybe I'll feel a little bit better. Because then we'll look at Louisville and say, okay, well, this is really what's going on everywhere and not just there.
Oh, that very well could be.
So maybe I'll feel better if they release the information.
Sure.
But I just
– you have a bunch of partners in crime.
But I just don't feel like today, like, everybody's acting like it's such a big – I mean, it's sad to lose your championship. I mean, I'm a little sad about that. I went to the game, but not really sad.
What about things like embarrassed or humiliated or disgraced?
Been going through that. See, that's why I think today's a good day, because now that stuff's over.
None of that bothers you?
Well, that stuff's over with now.
It's not over with.
Like, even if they had won their appeal, we would have known that they had hookers in the dorm, so we still would have been embarrassed.
So are we embarrassed?
We've been embarrassed the whole time. We've been embarrassed for 3 years.
Oh.
Been embarrassed for forever. I've wanted Patino gone ever since then. When it happened, I'm like, get rid of this clown. And they're like, no, Jerry's a great coach. You didn't know? Like, get rid of him. So that's how I felt about it. But so I got a hot take about this college basketball scandal and a team here that is doing real, real well, and why I worry the FBI situation might affect them, not in the negative way it'll affect everybody else, but still, like, in an indirect negative way.
Wow.
We'll get to that next. Jared and the GM live out at HQ Beercade. I am not proud right now of my school, but I am proud of what I wear. Why? Because I use my friends at Authentically American. And Authentically American, if you're a business owner, can make you proud of what you and your employees wear as well. Authentically American is a veteran-owned company passionate about creating U.S. jobs and making the best branded apparel you can find. If you're a business owner, you want that high-quality product that is made in America, and your employees will be proud to wear. Why not outfit them with Authentically American? High-quality tees, polos, hats, jackets, Oxford socks, vests, and much, much more made in the USA. Whether you have 5 employees or are a Fortune 500 company, Authentically American's got you covered with low low to no minimum so that small business owner can support Made in the USA. When you order, Authentically American will donate 10% of all sales to veteran charities and American heroes, and they are making good products and looking to do good at the same time. Authentically American is so American. Their website is authenticallyamerican.us. That's authenticallyamerican.us, because .us just makes sense. Check them out today if you want to be proud of where your apparel is made. The choice is simple. It's authenticallyamerican.us. If you have a Made in America need, contact Authentically American today at authenticallyamerican.us. It's Jerry the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Okay, I got a hot take here live out at HQ Beercade where we got the Preds watch party tonight. I've got a hot take, Floyd Reese.
Okay.
So we all know about this college basketball FBI stuff. Uh-huh. Apparently it's going to implicate like 50 programs and 30 head coaches and Hall of Fame guys and top teams. Rick Pitino's already fired. He just lost a national championship for, as you like to say.
Hookers in the dorm.
Yeah, so he's already fired. And we don't know who else it's coming. And it seems pretty likely Bruce Pearl's going to get fired. And it seems pretty likely, you know, if the FBI names a bunch of names, it wouldn't be surprising if Calipari's name was in there. So MTSU just entered the AP Top 25 poll for the first time in school history. 3 years ago, or I guess 3 seasons ago, they knocked off Michigan State in maybe the biggest upset in tournament history. They went to the second round again last year. And I'm just of the mindset that if all these coaches start getting fired, I don't think there's any way MTSU is going to be able to keep Kermit Davis.
And Kermit just won his 400th game. 400.
And then none of those wins are getting vacated. So I'm thinking right now, like, I look at the landscape of the city, of the, all the basketball coaches that are here. Now, I think if we were to rank them, I think Kermit would be near the top, if not the top. But, like, if you're a big school, why would you not go try to hire Kermit? I know last year they gave Kermit a contract extension with more money and all that stuff, and Kermit seems happy, you know, here, and they love Kermit, and Kermit's huge in the community and all of that. But, again, if the guy is taking MTSU to heights they've never been before and 30 coaches get fired, there's no way Kermit isn't offered $3 or $4 million a year at a big school. You'd be crazy if you were a big school not to call Kermit in that situation.
I would have to think you're right. I mean, he would certainly be a prime candidate. And you know, the program can get big enough that even for Kermit, it has some kind of an allure. You know, I mean, right now, if you listen to him, I mean, he talks about he's very happy, he loves the community, loves the school, family's happy, kids are happy, all of those kinds of things. And all of that is great. And maybe that means more to him than anything else. That is possible. But let's face it, I mean, if somebody comes to you and says, hey, well, triple your salary or quadruple your salary, and now you get to be the coach at, you know, whichever institution he loves the most, then be really, really hard to turn down.
Yeah, I mean, if, like, let's just say Louisville calls and offers Kermit Davis $3 million a year to be the head basketball coach on a 5-year contract. So now you're talking $15 million for you and your family for forever. Now, I'm not here to knock on MTSU, but I don't think MTSU can pay him $15 million. And then the market for a guy like Kermit goes up if more coaches get fired in these scandals.
Sure.
Because then, like, let's say Auburn, Kentucky, you know, let's say there's 20 Power 5 schools. Well, now, if Auburn is calling Kermit and they think, well, you know, Kermit's not making the huge bucks at MTSU, so we can offer Kermit $2 million. Well, and someone else can say, well, then we'll offer him $2.5 million so Auburn doesn't get him and we get him. Well, if you're going to do that, we'll offer him $3 million. And all of a sudden, the market for Kermit, the market for every coach who's at a non-Power 5 job who has proven that they can coach in the Power 5, which I think Kermit has probably proven on his resume here that he's done enough to go get a big job, now all of a sudden – the fighting just, I mean, it might get out of it. Kermit might sign for $4 million a year. I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
The amount of money these conferences are getting, and like, if you're Kentucky and you have a, and you come out in this, and now you need a coach. And again, I mean, you know, Kermit has a reputation of being on the up and up, which may be as important as anything else when all of this comes out.
And like you said, there may be, I mean, we have no clue, but we've talked about this before. You know, what if you have a choice between Kentucky and North Carolina and, you know, some other Indiana, whatever, you know, whatever school floats your boat. I mean, that'd be pretty tough to turn down now. I can't imagine that happening. How could you not take a job?
Like, if you're a college basketball coach, and even though you're happy about your life and you love living in Murfreesboro and you love what you've done with Middle Tennessee and building the brand and everything you've done, and then North Carolina calls and says, hey, we'd like you to be the head coach of UNC basketball.
Yeah, we'll give you $20 million for 5 years.
I mean, the
let me check. I'm okay. I'm ready.
You, like, remember when Brad Stevens was at Butler? Now, Kermit hasn't had the success at MTSU that Brad Stevens had with Butler, but he goes to back-to-back national titles, and every big job that comes open, they, oh, Brad Stevens, Brad Stevens, Brad Stevens. And Brad Stevens held out and then went to the Boston Celtics. Mm-hmm. You know, like, if the Boston Celtics call Kermit, I mean, I got to believe Kermit's going to the Celtics. Mm-hmm. So that's just, like, if you're an MTSU fan, you've got to be thrilled with how good your basketball team has been, how they've been competing, how they've been recruiting, how they've been getting guys from basically all ways you can get players. They've been doing it. They've got a good team, a great team to watch, a fun team. And then you look at this season and you see that, you know, no one's really all that good in college basketball. There's a lot of drama off the court everywhere else. Maybe MTSU could make a run. And then you have to think to yourself, well, if all these schools get indicted or if this FBI information leaks out and 30 coaches get fired, I mean, there's no way that a school like North Carolina is going to quit basketball just because they have to fire their coach for a cheating scandal.
And there won't be enough coaches to go around.
Oh, no, I mean, like, Dana Ford at TSU might get a big job.
There'll be a number of those. Like you say, you go through the – even down to Butler's and St. Mary's and places like that, you know, that are down the line a little bit. All those coaches become prime candidates.
Well, all those coaches at, like, Butler, I mean, Butler's – the last two coaches at Butler, one's gone to Ohio State, one's gone to the Celtics. So they're already getting their coaches pulled. I'm talking about the – like Dana Ford at TSU. Dana Ford's done a good job at TSU, and I think Dana Ford at TSU is a great coach. But Dana Ford probably has to go from somewhere like TSU to somewhere like MTSU.
Right.
You know, but if 30 coaches get fired, Dana Ford might go from TSU to Kansas
State. Michigan
State. Yeah, like, you know, like overnight, like, whoa, how did that happen? Yeah. I mean, it's just – I don't know, man. You know, it's this college basketball, the actual basketball of it hasn't been all that interesting this year, but the off-the-field stuff is really starting to become interesting. It's kind of like the NBA. You know, in the NBA, no one cares about the actual basketball playing. I don't why. You know, the NBA games are boring, but when you get the free agency talk about this one wanting to go play with that one and, you know, hey, he's friends with him.
Recruiting each other on the phones. I mean, all of that.
You must absolutely hate all that about sports.
Oh, I hate it.
Why?
Especially about basketball. You know, because they've just got to hand, you know, in basketball, if you can get two or three guys that are really, really good players, you're on your way to world championship. And you know, just about everybody can pay them. And it's just a matter of getting them that like you or they like somebody on your team or they and you've got to have a coach that is subdued enough that he'll just let them run the asylum and say, okay, here we go. Ready, break. You know, go get it. Give it to LeBron. Let him shoot. All right. There we go.
I feel like you like the sport of basketball. Like you like the actual dribbling and shooting and guarding and rebounding, the ball going in the basket, but that you hate everything about basketball. You hate the NBA and how the players run the league and it's not about a team. And in college, you hate that they're all cheating and lying and all of that.
Well, I think it's. I mean, the college is obvious. That really bothers me, all of those. And if all those schools are involved, I mean, that is really a dirty sport. The NBA basketball should be a team sport. The NBA is not a team sport.
It's a team if you can get all the team of individuals to want to play on the same team.
It's just that simple. And the players run the programs, you know. I mean, let's face it. And so for that reason, I marvel at the athleticism of basketball players. I think basketball players are the best athletes in the world as a group because not only can they dribble and run and jump and do all the things they have to do, but they're all, you know, 6'7", 6'8", 6'9". I mean, they're giants, and they can do that stuff. So I marvel at that. But the rest of it, you know, I'm okay over here.
615-737-1025. Jared and the GM live out at HQ Beercade, where, once again, we are hanging out with our Preds watch party tonight. The doors open at 4 o'clock. The drawing is at 7:45 for a pair of lower-level premium center ice tickets to Thursday night's game against San Jose. Come on out, watch the Preds take on Detroit, register to win, and then go ahead and win those tickets. It's HQ Beercade downtown where we are hanging out. Speaking of that Preds game tonight against Detroit, I was a little upset about something I heard yesterday. We'll get to that next. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Team hasn't lost more than three in a row in regulation since the beginning of the 2016 season. How much do you attribute that to kind of what you guys do as coaches to make adjustments versus, you know, just the attitude in the locker room?
I think it's more the attitude in the locker room. You know, there's always adjustments that goes on. I mean, everybody's got a job to do, but in the end, it's the players that have to go out there and fight for something, fight for a win, fight not to lose three in a row or lose two in a row or fight to put wins together. Ultimately, all the credit goes to them.
All the credit to the players, says Peter Laviolette. Jared and the GM live out at HQ Beercade. I would agree with that. And so I kind of put it on the players the other night when they lost to Detroit. Again, I was shocked, and we talked to Hal about this yesterday, and I kind of talked around to different people. I was kind of shocked how nonchalant the team was about the loss to Detroit Saturday night. Because, again, Detroit, who they play tonight at Detroit, it's not very good. And I kind of felt like they were going to have a better performance, especially after losing to Calgary, and they didn't. And I just kind of felt a sense of, well, you know, we played well, but we hit the post a bunch, Jared, and I don't know. And I was like, well, yeah, I don't know about all that. So Roman Josi was asked about playing Detroit again after the game last night on the TV broadcast, and I don't want to say that I was really bothered by what Josi said. I was just kind of bothered by what he said. This was yesterday. This is Roman Josi after the Preds won last night.
How do you guys carry this momentum over into Detroit in what could be called a redemption game?
Just play the same way. I think the last game against Detroit, I thought we played a good game. Wasn't the result we wanted, but we have more of that attack mentality than the games before. So we got to do the same thing. They're a fast team, and it'll be a tough game.
See, I just would have liked to hear something like, hey, even if you did think that you played a good game Saturday night against Detroit, I'd like to hear something along the lines of, you know, we thought we played pretty well, but it wasn't enough. So we've got to be even better. We've got to be even more focused. We've got to be not the, well, we played well, so just play the same way. Because I was not impressed with the way they played Saturday night. And that way, if that gets you beat tonight, right now you're in first place in the division. You got home ice for at least the first two rounds of the playoffs. If it started today, you got to get your wins against Detroit. So I don't know. Maybe I'm making too big a deal out of that. I can't tell. But I just was a little bothered when I heard that this morning.
Yeah, and I don't know the answer to it either. I mean, I think they... You know, I mean, he almost sounds like Peter. I mean, that's kind of what Peter said. I mean, he's repeating what he's heard and probably believes some of it. So, you know, I mean, I don't think that's a giant surprise.
Isn't that a bad thing though? If we're not happy with how they played Saturday, and then the coach is happy with how they played Saturday, and he's happy with how they played Saturday, then isn't it kind of like maybe you guys are wrong? Yeah. I don't know.
Are you giving me a choice of whether Peter's wrong or we're wrong? I'm going to have to go with Peter now.
I think Peter's wrong, too.
No, I'm saying I'm going with Peter. I think Peter's got a better chance of being right about this than we do.
And you're probably right. But so. I cannot get the sour taste out of my mouth of how they played Saturday. Now, maybe if they win tonight, make it two in a row, pick up 4 points, then I'll be okay. But...
See, this is just what we talked about after that game. You know what? We go ahead, we'll jump out there and win a couple of these in a row, and you won't even remember what happened on Saturday night. And if we beat Detroit tonight, Saturday night will be in the rearview mirror, gone by. Keep trucking.
Not for me.
You just got 4 points.
Not for me. I'm talking about it even though they won yesterday.
Okay.
I told you the local honk, if I was a local honk, which obviously I'm not, but if I was a local honk, I would be talking about how great the win was last night. It was a good win last night. How great the win was. But I can't shake how, at times, sloppy I thought they were Saturday in a game they had to win. Now they get a shot to go to Detroit and beat Detroit, and I'm expecting them to do it. I mean, I don't want them to go to Detroit and think, you know, we played well enough Saturday, but we just didn't get the bounces we wanted. If you lose to a team that's decent like Anaheim and you don't get the bounces you want, okay, I can live with that. But Detroit, after you didn't play well the night before, that's when it bothers me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you get another shot with Detroit, and you're asking Roman Josi what you got to have, and he's saying, oh, just play the same way. I don't know.
Just don't hit the post. Just have it ricochet in. That's what we
some
want.
Good coaching there.
Miss the post.
That's some really good coaching. I do worry a little bit about the back-to-back thing. I don't get too caught up into that, but, you know, when you listen to Crispy talk after the game was over, he basically said Pecorine was the reason that they won, and he pretty much said that about six different times. And you would assume tonight, obviously, back end of a back-to-back travel last night, UC Saros probably going to start.
Right.
Not that Saros was bad on Saturday night, because Saros kept him in the game, was really the only reason they had a chance to win. But I just feel like in a game that I really want them to get, I'd like to have Pecorine in that. So the back-to-back worries me a little bit. But again, tonight we're here for the watch party at HQ Beercade. I'm not guaranteeing a win because I'm not sure they are going to win. But I feel like in my heart I should be allowed to expect a win. Like, I should be really mad if they lose back-to-back games in Detroit.
Yeah. I mean,
Detroit
sucks. We guaranteed wins against the first Detroit.
No, we didn't. We didn't guarantee anything against Detroit.
And who do we guarantee the win against?
Calgary.
Okay. Oh, Calgary.
Now, okay. Calgary is significantly better than Detroit.
Okay. Calgary, and that didn't work out. And then we hoped for Detroit. How's that?
Right.
We hoped for Detroit. We hoped for last night.
Which they got. Like, the things that we thought they were going to do in the Calgary and Detroit games, we got last night. Finally, you played a full 60 minutes. Finally, you played like there was something up your tailpipe. Each time, I think Adam Vingan tweeted this out, each time that Ottawa scored to make it 2-1 and I think 3-2 or something, the Preds scored like 91 seconds later each time. That's like playing like there's a rocket up your tailpipe, which I like. I like the urgency in February. I hate when I hear, well, you know, February's kind of the tough time out there to be able to. I don't want to hear that. You're a professional athlete. Go play. That's your job. It's my job to host this radio show. It's your job to go play. So I don't want to hear any of that. I just look at tonight's game against Detroit, and I'm thinking, you know what? You're better than Detroit. Go beat them. And if you lose back-to-back games to Detroit, I'll be really upset.
Okay. I'm looking forward to tomorrow.
Because you think they're going to lose, don't you?
No. We're going to see. We'll either be really, really happy or really, really mad.
No. It'll be like the win last night. I mean, are we euphoric that they won last night against a not-so-great team? No. We're just like, good job. Now on to the next game. If they win tonight, we'll be like, good job getting your 2 points. Gimme your free 2 points against Detroit. The free points. That's what I'm calling them now. When you play these type of teams, they are free points. You need to take them. And so when you get your free 2 points, you move on to the next game, and then we'll start talking about San Jose and St. Louis. Big games, ooh, especially St. Louis Sunday night. Big game. But if you lose, we'll be really upset. So it's really unfair. Because it means we're going to be madder if you lose than happier that you win.
Where is St. Louis? And
St. Louis is, I think, 5 points behind you?
No, I mean, where's the game?
Here.
Oh, good.
Saturday afternoon on NBC, which is my hope that the Winter Olympics will be over by then. Will the Winter Olympics be over by Sunday? I hate the Winter Olympics. Ugh. Cannot wait for them to be over.
So sad.
They're awful. They're so boring. I turned on hockey last night after the Preds game. It was awful.
Louisville has messed you up so badly.
What? That has nothing to do with the Olympics.
You can't even.
That has nothing to do with my lack of caring about the slalom. Jared and the GM, we are live out at HQ Beercade. Once again, we got the watch party tonight for the Preds game against Detroit, where they really do need to win tonight. And come on out and register to win those premium lower level, premium center ice seats for Thursday night's game against San Jose. The drawing's at 7:45. The doors open here at HQ Beercade at 4 o'clock, so come on out for that. Coming up next, though, ESPN has five things the Titans need to do. We'll go over those five and see if Floyd's on the same page as ESPN. That's next on Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.